So for all the lawyers who, by mistake, missed last week's share, let's summarize the main things that we finished off with the end of last week's share. We're discussing the prohibition of going to secular courts.
I noticed the ones that were here last week are not here this week.
And the prohibition, basically the Isurim which involved is like three Isurim could be involved. One is a problem of Chila Hashem, going to secular courts. Another is Gezel, because if you take money which really halakhically is not due to you, you are in fact stealing. And thirdly, there is actually Issur Beferish written in the Torah, it says Lifnehem, that you can only be don your Dinei Torah in front of Dayonim and not before any other Mokum, which includes secular courts. And the Chazon Ish points out that the Israeli court system is worse than the Goyish court system in Chutz Haaretz, because it's more of a Chilul Hashem when you're using Jewish people, they're representing Jewish views, and they're saying they're representing Jewish views, and they're saying, oh, let's ignore the Torah. So therefore it's in fact more of a problem going to the secular Israeli courts than it is going to the Goyish courts in Chutz Haaretz. But because, of course, everything is awesome. Now, consequences, we saw that there's many consequences, we're going to go into that, we'll listen to that on the shir, if you want, on the tape last week. And what else is very crucial for lawyers to know is that it's not only a problem lifnei iver if they encourage their client to go to the secular courts or help their client go to the secular courts, not over the issa of lifnei iver. According to the Marashtam says is that anyone in this type of prohibition who gets involved in the process of going to the courts, even lawyers, would be as if they over these Isurim themselves, not just their client themselves.
Is that lifnei iver or misayeh?
It's lifnei iver.
Even though they can go to somebody else.
Let's be straight. How do you deal with someone in a...
One last thing. That this issa... There's an issa, even because of Chilul Hashem, to have in the contract that you are writing up for your client a clause which says that we're, in the event of dispute, we're going to go to the secular courts. That is the prohibition. Now, to get round it, so that no one can faint and say, well, I've lost all my panosa, as one lawyer said to me, and that's why he left the business 20 years ago, last week, he told me, is that you can put the clause, instead we're going to arbitration, either in America, it's very acceptable to say we're going to go to the JAMS Institute, very acceptable institute, or if you're here, you can even say you're going to arbitration by this particular judge in the secular courts, not under the judge system, but we're going to him as the arbitrator, and he will decide, not based on, let's say, the laws of the country, decides on what he thinks is sensible. Then that doesn't come under this prohibition of the ISO going to the secular courts. Now, if one party is Jewish, one party is a goy, it is less of a problem, but there's still an issue of Chilul Hashem, meaning that if you can avoid it, and you don't avoid it, then there'll be a problem of Chilul Hashem, and therefore that's an issue even with goyim involved, to make sure that there's going to be an arbitration agreement.
So, especially if you move against a goy and it affects another Jew. Like if he's a kaplan for another Jew.
And often many companies, there's a combination of goyim and Jews involved, and then you'll have to go to the arbitration system, because if there's Jews involved, there can't be any side that you have to go to, can go to the secular courts under any circumstances. Now,
what about criminal cases? What do you do about
criminal cases? Is different.
So you don't have to go to.
If there's a criminal case, meaning that there's a person who's done something wrong and he's a perpetual danger to society, as paskened by a halakhic source who knows how to pasken these type of shalas, then there wouldn't be a problem of going to the secular courts. So, that was the summary of what's the general quick-fire halakhas of the going to secular courts. Now, we're going to talk about this week a specific halakha which is connected to this, going to secular courts. And of course we're going to start with a din Torah, which came before a basin. And the shayla is like this. A woman was getting divorced, or she got divorced, and now she was taking her ex-husband's munchie issues. She decided to go, as on the advice of her lawyer, to the secular Israeli court system. Because why? Naturally, a woman who's divorced will be preferential in the secular system, because the secular system deals differently. They don't go according to halacha, and they have natural leniencies towards the wife in the secular system. That's how it happens. Therefore, it's more to gain for the woman to end up in the secular courts than there is in the place. The same type of concept. An employer always takes an employee to the base mishpat avodah because it's very heavily weighted in his favor in those secular courts, and therefore, even though he's doing Isurim, but he's enticed, the Yetzer Hara gets him to go to the secular court systems. Now, so she goes there under the advice of her lawyer, and the court, when they give their decision, the decision was is that she gets higher than expected for her support, her financial support. The secular system paskins or gave a decision that she's going to get a high support from her ex-husband, higher than she would have got in Beis Din. But when it came to the issue who owns the house, she was trying to claim that she has the whole rights to the house, and her husband, ex-husband, doesn't have any rights to the house. No, the court decided that you have to split it 50-50 and not according to how much money was put into the house to buy it, because it's actually registered in both their names. That's how the court is. For sure. Yes, sure. All the time. All the time. Is one of the most common ones, because unfortunately divorce is one of the most common issues. Exactly how much money you give to her as support, and to her children, which are his children. Yes, how much support money you have to give. Yes, who owns the property. Yes, all those type of issues are basically are going to decide those types of issues. Now, she wasn't very happy with the decision of the secular court. So the lawyer, her lawyer, was absolutely going over top to try and persuade the judge to change the mind. The judge got so annoyed with the lawyer of disturbance from that lawyer. So the judge decided, I'm changing my decision. She's not entitled to any money from the husband. And she doesn't get any of the house besides the court of the house she's entitled to.
Besides what?
A quarter of the house she's entitled to.
A quarter?
Yeah, instead of half. And it's written in the secular courts, you can actually get it out this That's what the decision is. Why? Because the judge said, came up with all different excuses why, but the real reason was is because the lawyer really annoyed him. So now, she wanted to go back to Beis Din, because now it comes out that Beis Din is much more better for her than the secular courts. So she comes in front of the Beis Din, and the Beis Din say, we've got a problem here. What's the problem? There's an issue in the halacha where once you've gone to the secular courts, whether we're allowed to take you back and discuss your case at all. Now, let's see this issue. Now, once you've gone to the secular courts, maybe we're not allowed to take you back to Beis Din. You've burnt your bridges by going to the secular courts. We'll see. We'll see what the reasoning behind it, why that's true.
Did she know she wasn't supposed to go to the secular court? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
We'll see whether that, according to the reasonings, whether that makes a difference. So the first bar welcome for this, whether you can go back to the secular court, Beis Din, after going to the secular courts, is like this. The Beis Yosef says like, Mashma b'marik. It is implicit from the Rab Marik, B'shem Rab Yitzhak bar Peres, that it says over there, Oma ani, im b'nei odom, ne'ason lachavem b'choysam marpus. If people take their Baal Din to the Goyish courts and get them in trouble there. Vachaka Rotsa Chaber LeToveh B'Din Ma'usa Tavia Shunasa Lo Ma'usa Chusa. And then he wants to go back after getting a judgment which he doesn't really like in the secular courts. He wants to go back to Beis Din and have a Beis Din decision on the same issue. Ein Nizgokin Lo. We do not take the case at all. We say, go away, you've burnt your bridges, you went to the secular courts, we're not interested anymore. Kivin Shaniah Dine Yisrael, cause you left Dine Yisrael, the Bokhala Issa Bedine Umas Olam, and you decided to do Isurim in Umas Olam courts, Shub Ein Nizokin Lom Osatvia, we're not interested in that case anymore. Why? The dinner, the machus dinner. Dinner, machus dinner. Therefore, we do not take it back. At kan loshen of the marik. Abul says the Beis Yosef, lo mashma hoki by ubda shehevi amotachai. Besof kama, merebi yo, merebi fryin. But it's not, doesn't seem that that's a correct decision not to take the case. Because for the case, we see from the Mordechai in his story of Rabbi Yom and Mordechai that was not how the Mordechai understood. Now, so the first point we see from here, that the reason why the Marik is saying, shame Rabbi Yitzchok, that you don't take the case is because of dinner to Malchus dinner.
Wouldn't the logical decision that we should be posturing based on Yidah Malchusa, if that's the case?
So it's a very difficult to understand what you're talking about. For many reasons. Certainly, Dinah Malchusa dinner, because you've done Isurim, therefore there's a dinner to Malchusa dinner. What is the halacha? You have to go to the Beis Din. You decide to go to the secular court. Secular court, make a decision. Now we can't take it back because of dinner, Marcus, the dinner. If it's true, then you should be at dinner, Marcus, and then you should say that you have to go to the secular court in the first place.
Yeah. Or at least we should pass
it. Does it make sense?
It's not an appropriate thing to say.
Okay, let him go to jail. No, that's the consequence of doing his Turin.
He can take her to Beis Din afterwards. I mean, if she gets $50,000 and Halacha's only have 25, let him take her to Beis Din and say, you owe me 25.
He doesn't say that.
Doesn't say, he said Dinamach Husudah. Yeah. Second problem with Dinamach Husudah is that no one of all the halachas of Dinamach Husudah, when we eventually learn it, ever suggests that Dinamach Husudah applies because a judge makes a decision. No, there's no such thing. Dinamach Husudah has very, very clear definitions of when you apply it and when you don't apply it. There's no such thing. It's just because there's a secular court out there, then we have to go according to it. It only applies under certain issues and certain conditions. It doesn't apply across the board.
It's not appropriate.
And it's not appropriate here at all. Okay, that's the first. Now let's look and create another problem. Let's look at the second Beis Yosef, who brings down this case of the Mordechai, which seems to be saying, according to Beis Yosef, that you do accept the case, even if it's gone to secular courts, you still go back to Beis Yosef. What is this case which the Beis Yosef is referring to? It says like this. Hisit Tachila Rabbi Yom Mitzias Rabbi Ephraim. Rabbi Yom lost lot of money from the fact that Rabbi Ephraim was Moser him to the Goyish court system. What happened? Rabbi Ephraim was most of Rabbi Yom to the court system, and he lost a lot of money. Shaluka alofa. V'acha shenigma hafsida shor Rabbi Yom. And after Rabbi Yom now lost a lot of money, hoya hulach v'mosigam hu es Ephraim. So he took revenge, and he went and was most of Rabbi Ephraim on his issues to the Goyish court system. U'masida, and he also lost shaluka hilchasa. So both of them was most of each other to the Goyish court system, and both of them lost. Hanirlo, what do you do? Nirlo, you go to Beis Din. Shomelo es hezen shalosi zelizel. Work it out. how much he lost Shloka Halacha, how much he lost Shloka Halacha, and work out who lost more, and then make out the difference. And then Rabbi Yo, Hizik, Rafaim, Yosef, Mashi, and Sudu, then Rabbi Fai, the Rafaim, Mashal, and Rabbi Yo. If ends up Rabbi Yo lost more money than Rabbi Fai, then Rabbi Fai has to compensate Rabbi Yo. So says the Beis Yosef, we see from here that even though you've gone to the Goyish court system, you still go back to Beis Din.
This is much worse. This is Mekoma, this is Mitzadom, this is Akol. This is everything.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's not very uncommon.
So, now everyone, everyone should have a question over here.
Beis Din's not hearing the case again. They're just looking at the monetary exchange and seeing what the difference is, switching it.
Very good. Did everyone hear that? How is this comparable to our case? Our case was, you went with a claim to the secular courts, and they gave a decision. And we said, dinner markers are dinner, for some reason, you have to keep that decision. Here, they didn't go to a claim, they just was most to each other in the Goyish courts. Each one lost money, and now you go to Basin with a new claim. Who lost more money than the other? We're not deciding a decision which was already made on the secular courts. We're deciding who lost more money than the other. There's a new claim altogether. Why? And what Shad did and Malchus did in such a thing? There was no decision by the secular courts on this issue at all. There was no decision. How is it comparable to our case that the Beis Yosef can say, then the Mordechai argues and says, you take the case. What do you mean? Of course you take the case. There was never a case in the second court in the first place to say,
well,
you don't take the case.
I could see the similarity, because in both cases, you are going me a damage by through a decision of the court. It's a little more indirect, but it's sort of a direct damage here. As a result of that
damage,
it's
yeah,
not a different case.
But dinner machlus is dinner.
A different aspect of the same case.
Dinner machlus dinner means you have to decide by that decision. And here's not that decision. What's going on? Agav, what you see from here is that you can be called a rabbi and it doesn't mean anything. You can be doing one of the biggest issurim, as we discussed last week, of going to the second course, one of those homo issurims compared to our Avodah Zorah. And you can still call a Rebbe. Okay. So titles mean nothing. So, has anyone got an idea to reconcile the two? How can the Beis Yosef say, from here we see you can take a decision in secular court and still work on it? What do you mean? There was no decision in secular court over here.
Well, no, because if we were punishing him for having done an Aveira and Dina the Machlus Adina, the same punishment would apply here.
But it's not, is it punishment or not punishment? You're saying it's when it says Dina Machlus Adina.
Whichever reason it is, it would apply.
So you're saying Dina Machlus Adina doesn't mean Dina Machlus Adina, it means a punishment.
No, even, it's unclear, but whatever it means, either punishment or Dina Machlus Adina, the same thing should apply here, because it's a result of the same case. It's not like a different case altogether.
So, the Erech Shai says like this, number three, to rectify this, Kasha. At the end of the first line, if you can read it, if not, you can listen. Fiani Yastati, according to my humble understanding of things, Yesh lo matam nedinza, I'll give you actual logic to this halacha. Because Maskinan Reish Perek Tama de Sanhedrin, that we decide in the beginning of Sanhedrin, the Minatura Surf Sumchim, Midaraisa, the only basin who can make decisions on issues between two Jews, is a basin which had Dayanim who had Smicha, which doesn't exist nowadays. No such thing as Smicha nowadays. Therefore, there shouldn't be any basin in the country or in the world to be able to make decisions halachic. But there was a decision. There was a Durabonon Din that, in order that the world should still exist after this concept, that even Dayanim who were not smoking, they made a Takona that they can also Paskin Dine Shilas in Dine Moments.
He doesn't know the people saying on Dine?
It's also a Takona.
Right?
As a Din Durabonon.
Right.
It's a din d'rabbanan. It's a din d'rabbanan that we allow you to paskin halachas because we look like you have smicha even though you don't have smicha.
Oh, he's saying this is what the Messiah
is saying.
Yes,
yes.
So how does that affect all these surah from last week?
Because now that you can't go to the...
It's
no, it's not less chomor. Why is it less chomor? Mitzvah, I am. And even if I'm not, what did Rabbi Yashiv say? Rabbi Yashiv said that even if you're in a country that has no Beis Din and you can't go to Beis Din, it's still awesome to go to the secular courts.
Did we say that was
a Machlokas? Rabbi Yashiv's Kumra, it's a Kumra of Rabbi Yashiv, it's his decision of Rabbi Yashiv. But that obviously it doesn't apply. Everyone agrees that you can't go to, you can, if there's a Beis Din to go to, for sure you can. And it's called a Beis Din nowadays, because we pass in that Dionim can pass in Halachas nowadays.
Did this Hakana happen when there was still person around?
Two stages. Chutzoritz. Eretz Yisrael, there was Smichim, and Chutzoritz, there was, so they made the corner in the Chutzoritz, and then they made another Tekona when everything, all the Smichim disappeared.
So how could they do Nisakin if nobody's Samach?
Beis Din have a Koach.
Only if there's Smichim.
No. Make the corner. Okay, Kolzian, Besomach, Al Din Yisrael. That only applies if you recognize Din Yisrael. Avazeshlu, what's up at Tekonis Acholim? But this person who says, I'm going to the secular court. He's basically saying, I'm not interested in the Tekona of Chazal that institutes the concept of Beis Din. I'm not interested in that Tekona. Therefore, since he's saying, I'm not interested in the Tekona of Botei Dinim, and I'm just going to the secular courts, therefore he's giving up his right now to go back to Beis Din, because in his eyes he's already demonstrated that he doesn't want this Tekona for his benefit. The whole Tekona was for your benefit in order to get your money which you deserve, so we instituted the Tekona. That there is Beis Din nowadays, but you go to the secular courts and basically saying, I'm not interested in that Tekona. If you're not interested in that Tekona, it doesn't apply to you.
Oh, it's all because of Lo Yimel Velas Yisrei Lovin?
We instituted the Tekona for your benefit, based in around, otherwise you're stuck. And you said, I'm not interested in it, so you've given up your rights now. As soon as you go to the secular courts, you say, I'm not interested in it, so you've given up your right of having the option of going to Beis Din.
So the other party would be allowed to take you to Beis Din, though, according to that.
Yes, I'm sure. So we see now, there's a connection between the two cases. Why? Because according to this logic, let it sink in a bit here. According to this logic, not only if you go to your case to get a decision in the secular courts, you can't go back to Beis Din, but even if you don't go to your case, but you go to the secular courts as your authority and any issue, you also can't go to back to Beis Din at all.
Oh, all future cases? You
because you're basically saying, I have an issue which should really be in Beis Din. I'm going now instead to the secular courts because Beis Din, I'm not interested in their Tekona of helping me out. Okay? So what you've said, I'm not interested in it, the Tekona doesn't apply to you, and now you've given up your rights to go back to Beis Din under any issue.
Ever again.
Until you've done a Teshuva.
Oh, well, we just did tshuva.
We don't believe your tshuva.
So what is it like? A shochet?
Yes, 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 yes. So, therefore the case is Akabau, says the Beis Yosef. I see from the Mordechai, they let you come back even though you went to the secular courts. That shows that he holds that you're allowed to be back in the courts. So you don't give up your rights by going to the secular courts.
What does that do with Dina Barachus Adina?
And therefore the concept of Dina Barachus Adina means is that you recognize as the Dinama, you recognize that your din was Malchusa. So therefore, if you recognize your din was the Malchusa, therefore you got no rights to go to Beis Din.
He holds din of Malchusa.
Not that din of Malchusa din that applies here, but you went and said, I recognize din of Malchusa din, then you've given up your rights to go back to Beis Din. Of course, din of Malchusa doesn't apply, but you gave up your rights by going to the secular courts. Based on that concept, the receiver says, Loyom ain't based in the Zokin, so therefore based in don't take you back because of this. But if I know, yes, the secular course got me off, but I know that really I owe him a bit of money, I really halachically owe him money, then you have to still pay, even though the Beis Din are not going to hear the case at all. Beis Din are not going to hear the case because he gave up your rights. But you know that you owe him money, then you're mechuyev to pay him, even though it can't be taken to the Beis Din, you're mechuyev to pay him, and if you don't, then it's gezel. Because it's a din and giving up your rights is not saying that the decision was binding at all. The decision wasn't binding, the secular decision. But he says giving up his rights to go to Beis Din. But the person who says, I know I owe money, and the decision wasn't binding, so therefore I have to pay him. If I don't pay him, it's cancelled for me to keep the money. So if you apply that to our case, yes, the secular courts released the husband from paying any money as support, but the husband halachically is machayev to support his wife. So therefore, even if Beis Din don't hear the case again, the husband would have to pay what halacha defines he needs to pay to support his wife and his ex-wife and his children. And so he doesn't to be a guest.
Beis Din can't force him to.
Beis Din can't enforce him. No. Beis Din won't hear the case. Now, that let us see what the halacha is. That is all understanding the halacha. Let us now see what the halacha is. If you look at number 5, it says like this. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that since the Mordechai says you're allowed to go back, you're allowed to go back. So Svadim Botitinim always take your case back. Svadim Botitinim always take your case back. Even if you've gone to the secular courts. Says the Ramah, Mi shaholach ba'akois sha'ovet kachovim, somebody went to the secular courts, v'neschayev b'dinehem, and he got obligated, v'akach chosev atumeh lifnei dayan Yisrael, now he wants to go back to Beis Din because he had a bad decision in the secular courts. Yesh omrim ein nezokin lo. There is an opinion which says you don't take it back. V'yesh omrim nezokin, there is an opinion which says you do take it back. Says the Ramah, the halacha is you do not take it back. Ashkenazi Botitinim, according to the halacha, does not take back a case which went to secular courts. Svadi Botitinim do take back the case that go to secular courts. Now, what? Yes, and you'll see why in a minute.
And Ashkenaz takes a Sparta Beis Din or vice versa.
We'll see why in a moment. Now, according to the Ramah, that you don't take it back, what about the proof of the Beis Yosef from the Mordechai who says you do? Obviously, he doesn't understand the prohibition or the Issa like we explained it. That once you've given up your rights, you've given up your rights, and that's it. And the Mordechai says you haven't given up rights. If so, then we've got a Mordechai which says you do take it back. Why does the Ramah Haskin you don't take it back? It's because he learns that the Mordechai is not in conflict with the Marik. What's the reasoning?
And why couldn't he just pass like the Marik?
What?
Why couldn't he just pass like the Marik?
Because if it's not Sophic and Mormon, according to this, it's a Sophic whether you should pass him, so you should pass him. Get involved. So there's another logic that you can learn from him. The Ketzav Kedoshim says a different reason. It's not written down, and I gave you my mockum. But the Kesef Lushan says like this. Somebody who goes to the goyish courts, or a lawyer who encourages client to go to the goyish courts, says the Kesef Lushan, he's got a din of a mumma and he's got a din of a goy. He's a goy. Now he's a goy. In the goyish courts, he's a goy. Because he's been over this issurim. Therefore, the decision there is binding on him, just like it's binding on every goy, because of dinner to malchus and dinner. He was a Jew, but now, as soon as he's been over the issur of going to the goyish courts, he became a goy. And therefore, the decision of the goyish courts is binding on him, of dinner to malchus and dinner. And therefore, says Ramah, that's only on the case at hand, that you took to the courts, you became a goy, and therefore decision is binding on you. But if you happen to be over the issa, okay, you're over the issa, but there's no decision made by the goyish courts in your specific case, therefore there's nothing to be bind you, because we say it's only binding because you have to follow it. Why do you have to follow it? Because you're goy. But if the case was never heard in the goyish courts, therefore there was never a decision which was binding, and therefore you can go to Beis Din.
So you're still a goy, but you can go to Beis Din.
Yes. So according to that, it's only on your particular case which you went to the secular court and you lost. That is binding on you and you have to keep. Therefore, according to that logic, the person knows, according to halacha, that he has to pay that person. According to this logic, he doesn't. Why? Can you tell me why? Anybody know why? If Reuven took Shimon to the goyish courts, and Reuven lost, and now Shimon gains, and Shimon knows he owes him a bit of money, does he have to pay? We said up to now he does. But according to this logic, he doesn't. Why?
Whichever is more money.
Yeah. If he's a goy, then we're saying the decision is binding, and therefore his decision that Shimon is released from paying, according to, is binding, and therefore Shimon owes no more money.
The Gemara says he's a goy.
The Kesef Kedushin.
Yes, he's
Kedush.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So. According to that, the halacha is, the Ashkenazim, that we don't take the din back which was heard in the secular courts. Anything which was heard in the secular courts and decided on that, we're not going to take it back.
Which is our case.
And therefore, go back to our case. According to the Svadi, what it did him, a woman lost all her rights in the basin, in the secular courts, she can come back. She can't come back, because we passed it according to the Mordechai says the Beis Yosef. Even if you went to the secular courts and the decision that you still can come back according to the Sfardi Batidim. But according to Ashkenazi Batidim, it was decided here that you don't get any money in the secular courts. You're going, dinner, machos, dinner. You are not entitled to any support.
And it's not even a good thing to go pay her. I mean, at that point...
No, you're not mechuyev to pay it. So therefore, it depends if it's a Sfardi Batidim, Ashkenazi Batidim. Now the problem in this particular case, it came before the Beis Din HaGadol, Yerushalayim, where Rabbi Avadi Yosef was sitting, and the Sitz Eliezer was sitting.
Who is the third?
What are you going to paskin in such a case? If, of course, the Sitz Eliezer will go to Ashkenazi in 94 and says we can't take it back. According to Rabbi Yosef, we do take it back.
What about the woman? What was she?
What's the difference?
Doesn't matter.
When it comes to money,
it doesn't go according to the people. It goes according to the basin.
Okay.
So what do you do here? We've got a basin which is Swadi and Ashkenazi.
Wasn't the basin three people?
Third person said, I do want to go to Korea. Very sensible.
So you just got another Friday basin.
So, the goldness of Rabbi Avadi Yosef came out over here. This type of thinking defines whether you just learnt halacha or the Shulchan Aruch, or you actually lived the halacha and you know how to apply it. And this is what Rav Yosef said to the 600 years. He says, yes, according to me, for sure, you would take the din Torah back. According to you, Ashkenazim, you shouldn't take the din back. I tell you what, even according to Ashkenazim, you take it back over here. Why? Because what's the concept over here? There was a decision in the second court, because you're a goy. The decision is binding because the din of Machlus is in. That's only true if it's a decision of the court. But over here, it was not a decision of the court. It was a decision of the judge who was already... It was a personal decision of the judge, not based on any law. Because he was offended by the lawyer, or bothered by the lawyer, he decided to say, oh, she loses all her money. That's not called a decision of the courts, even according to the secular system. It's not going to be binding according to Dinah Malchus HaDinah, and therefore even if it would be a goy, it's not a decision. That has to keep. And therefore even according to you Ashkenazim, who don't take back because of the concept the law is binding when you were goy, because you went to the second court, that's only true if it's a decision of the court. This wasn't a decision of court, therefore there's no decision, and therefore we can go back and don the din term. And the Sitzel Yeser accepted that, and therefore the din was taken back to the Beis Din, and they decided on that issue.
What?
And were they passed
it? If she's a goy, she's not entitled to the children.
No, no. In this respect, you're saying that you became a goy in this respect.
She's not
respect.
A goy hold over, just in this respect.
She still has to keep Shabbos.
Her Beis Din, they never pay the
children.
A goy is, if there's a document, a goy is the sizes.
That's what? The first thing.
If there's a ksuba, it's a document.
Yeah.
So even you go, you get ksuba.
But it's always knocked down the base thing.
But a goy has an
isra
keeping Shabbos.
No, but it's only goy lachuma.
It's always the psak of the base.
No, lachula, only goy lachuma. Yeah? The Kesef Kedoshim says maybe if he touches wine, the wine's off. Yeah? As he also did. Maybe he can't be called up to the Torah. Somebody goes to the secular courts. Yeah, maybe it's possible to be an aid. If he's an aid of Kedushin, then we're terrible. Yeah, that's why everyone should be marked on the aid. It doesn't matter, the brokers. Give the guy the broker, not the aid. Okay. So everyone's clear? Anyone got questions on the secular courts? Halakhos over here? Everyone can throw questions now before we carry on.
Well, do you know what the psak was of the Beis Din of Rav Yosef and Cecilia?
Yeah, they he has to pay, but not like... Like normal halakha. Yeah, normal halakha. Normal halakha.
I mean, the fact that she went to say was not factored in.
When we get into the concept of...
But we would never paskin that...
Monetary issues between husband and wife, we'll discuss exactly their rights and who owns what and everything like that, and Yerusha and everything.
Had the original decision, though, had been for less than halakha, they wouldn't be able to exceed that, would
they? According to the... According to the Sparti law, yes.
No, but according to where the Vadi Seif told us to tell Yezus,
yes,
they would not be able to see that original.
But she gained, because she got 50-50.
She gets 50-50.
And
yeah,
and of course, basically she gets 50.
We have two children. Yes. And one has to do with you.
Yes.
And one of them is not from the
beautiful. Yes.
Since
in the Goyish courts. Yeah, he's a judge on the Goyish courts. Oh, insists. Yes. So you're supposed to give up the deal. I had this case. There was a $5 million deal going on in America, and there's a person on one side who was from Ramat Beit Shemesh, and he knew there was a certain issue of secular courts. So he phoned me and discussed. Look, I've got this $5 million deal. And it says in the contract that we're writing that in the event of dispute we have to go to the New York Supreme Court or the whatever court it was, Circuit Court. And can I sign it? So I said, no, you're not allowed to sign it. But he said, $5 million. I'll lose $5 million. I said, look. So I said, no, that. So I got a phone call the following day saying, look, there's a Jew on the other side. The other side is made out of a goy. Three partners, a goy, a secular Jew, yeah, and a Haredi Jew, yeah. The goy doesn't care. Secular Jew is up and down like this.
the Haredi guy is causing the problems. And he said he asked his rabbi, and his rabbi said it's fine. So I said, look, you know what? I'll go to Rav Nissen Karelitz and see what Rav Nissen Karelitz says. So I went to Rav Nissen Karelitz. The signer was put in front of Rav Nissen Karelitz, and Rav Nissen says, it's poshut, you're not allowed to sign. Not allowed to sign. Not allowed to sign. So therefore, he went back to him, and he said, I'm not allowed to sign, that's what my rabbis say, and I'm giving up the deal, I'm packing my bags, going on the plane next back. You're giving up 5 million? Yes, you're giving up 5 million. What, for Torah, you're giving up yes, for Torah, I give up 5 million. As he was about to go to the airport the following day, he received a phone call, and he says, we'll agree. We will take that clause out, and we'll put instead the jams clause, and that was acceptable in everyone's eyes, and the deal still went down. Yes. No, that's what you have to do.
If instead of saying if there's a dispute, we'll go to the New York Supreme Court, which is actually fairly uncommon today, they usually insist on arbitration. Right?
But it says, I'm going to preempt your thing, but it says, we won't go necessarily to the Supreme Court, but even if we go to JAMS, but the JAMS will base their decisions on apply this New York secular law to decide decisions, that is also prohibited.
But that wasn't really my question, but it's sort of. What is more common is that they say the contract will be interpreted according to the laws of the state of New York.
Interpreted is different. Interpreted is fine. Where you can write it in the more clearer hood. Where it's applicable,
the New York State law will govern.
Will be guided.
That's okay.
Where it's applicable, which means wherever the halakha will decides, it's applicable to look at New State law to define what were the conditions of the contract. They will.
That's mutter.
Yes, that's okay.
What about when you go into a store and you buy a tile? You sign the paper, you turn it over, there's a full page of fine print. At the bottom of the box says, there's a problem, you agree to the television, there's a report.
You shouldn't sign it. No, you can change it. We'll go to Judge whoever it is. Judge Tony has arbitration. Now, there's another shy comes up. Gas companies, electric companies. Whoever you get connected, you have to sign that thing. It says over there. Says one of the Koshev Dayonim, this issa of the actual signing document is only one issa we're discussing. Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem. And therefore, in a case where you need the essentials of the amenities. You can't live without gas and electricity. And the only way to get it to sign this document is not a Chilul Hashem to sign the document. What's Chilul Hashem? Is that when you've got an option to choose halacha or secular law, and you go ahead, we're going to do it according to secular law, that's a Chilul Hashem. But if you've got no options, it's not a Chilul Hashem to say we're going according to the secular law.
Well, this guy was losing $5 million. That wasn't much of an option.
No. That's called Reva.
I disconnect my gas and lose $5 million.
That's Reva. That's Reva. Reva. So there's no problem signing these clauses in the electric company.
He wasn't going to make a profit. He wasn't going to make a profit.
What do you mean?
The $5 million means he was going to lose $5 million.
$5 million. Don't take
let's say backing out would have cost him $5 million because of penalties as a backing out.
That's a different thing.
That's a different thing.
Between friends.
Let us move on. Now, right, that's the end of the questions. Okay. If anyone wants a rundown of last week's summary of the 20 halachas which apply to secular courts, 17 plus 3 this week. Then in English, I can give it over to you. If anyone has a demand for that. Okay? Wrote up in English for everyone to have it clear by then. Now, new topic. We're going to now start discussing common day Gezel shyness. People get themselves involved maybe in Gezel and they don't really realize it. So we're going to discuss that for the next few weeks. Because it's late, we're going to talk about this small topic, an issue which gets often asked, very often asked all the time. I get this, Shaila. People ask me this, Shaila, and it's like this. Jumping the queue. Is that an issue of Gezel? Is it not nice? Or is it completely mutter?
Nigga Medina.
Yeah, so what does that mean? What you just said?
It's the beginning of Medina to jump the
no,
queue.
No, 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 no. Medina to jump the queue.
Does jumping the queue only count for a line? What about a car in traffic? No. Is that the same
Shiloh? You're in the doctor's and you jump the queue.
They don't know how to drive
to a bank.
You're in the bank and you jump the queue. You wave your hand to the guy at the front and you say, and he calls you up. Yeah? Is that allowed? Jump in the queue. Your pals at the front.
Protects you.
Protects you, as they say. Yeah? Now the Shiloh came. What?
You're taking everyone's time. Was there
front? Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. So what's the issue? Is it Gezel Mamish? Is it just a not nice thing? Or is it Mutter? And it's just bad midas? What is it?
Maybe.
Yeah, it depends where you are. Yes? Okay.
Well, why is it not Gezel?
Why isn't it?
Why is it Gezel? Why is it Gezel? What are you stealing?
Time.
Time of what? What? Time were you stealing?
Someone's time. Now they have to wait another 10 minutes. You're allowed to spend so much time?
You're a shop owner and you come in with two big bags of,
yes,
of coins.
Yes.
And they've got to be counted on. You put it down, I think.
Isn't
huh?
Someone's time valuable? I mean,
no, so, yeah, but what are you stealing?
Time is money, right?
Let me put the question like this. A person comes first in the line. He owns something now?
Did he have a right to it?
Did he own something when he came first in the line? Does he own something by coming first? So he owns that place as soon as he comes.
He takes a paper.
Not there. Really. I mean, the proprietor can change the line if you want.
What's he owning? What's Kinyan? And if he does own, how do you make a Kinyan? What happens to it? Because stealing is first you have to decide he's got something and you're taking something away. What has he got?
What's Gezel Shana?
It's not Gezel, it's Gezel Shana.
What is it?
It's an Hodder. I'll go with Gezel. Now, the Shiloh came, very common thing, because Shiloh came to Rabbi Nachman. And the Shiloh was like this. And therefore, it applies to all cases, even the small cases. There is a line to get a kidney transplant.
Oh.
More than just time.
There's a line. Shimon needs a kidney transplant, but he's at the back of the line. Derech HaTeva, if he doesn't go to further up in the line, time will run out. Is he allowed to jump the line? He's got ways and means of jumping the line.
That means
can he jump the line and be able to get closer? But on the other hand, by going closer, maybe he's pushing somebody at the back.
But is it maybe or vada?
Someone's going to
is
die.
It maybe or vada?
Not necessarily. His case
is vada.
Maybe he comes first. When you have the right of a bottle of water in the desert, you have the right to look after yourself. No?
As if you had the bottle.
You have the bottle.
That's your bottle. Now the question is, can I steal your bottle?
So it says the Gemara,
if
I protect you, I can move up.
Right.
There's a queue. So you're saying, all queues, there's no concept of steam by queues, because I can have protection to get up, and therefore there's no problem, you're saying. Yeah? You're saying all queues are like that.
An auction, let's say they're selling an organ.
So here's the second of what
you're selling an organ.
Second is, yeah.
The highest bidder.
Yeah, that's a different thing. There's no queue.
So
it's the highest bidder.
There's more money, so yeah. You're stealing from the other guy.
No, because that's based on, we're not doing queues here. It doesn't come first serve. It's a concept of whoever gives the highest money will get it. It's a completely different system. Here we have a concept of queue. Whoever comes first in the line will get the kidney. I have a way of breaking those rules and going round the back and getting myself up front. So it says the Shulchan Aruch, it says the Gemara Sanhedrin, number 7. Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirduf. You have to chase after Tzedek. What does that mean, says the Gemara? Second line. Ketzas. Example. Shnei Svinos Ovis Banar Pogus Zebizer. We have two ships going in the river and they going in opposite directions, meaning they're going to bump into each other if they carry on. Who Ovashtem? Im Ovashtem, Shtem Tavis. If they both decide to go and ignore each other, then they're both going to sink. Because there's no room for both of them. The Zeach is there, Shtem Ovashtem. If they take turns, everyone goes. One will have to wait and one will have to go. So Hakeit said, how do we decide who goes first and who goes second? You know what? The rules are like this. If one is heavily laden and the other ship hasn't got anything on it or got less, the one that's heavily laden should go first. Krover she'enu krover. If somebody is closer to its destination and the other one's further away from its destination, then titka kruva bnei she'enu kruva. Then the one that's closer to the destination should give way to the one that's further away from its destination. The further away destination should go first. It's got a longer way to go. If everyone's the same, then you make a go.
So it doesn't say anything about being first.
Says the Me'iri. Me'iri says, you know what? This Gemara is not just for these specific issues. You know, one's laden, one's not laden. Says the Me'iri. If we see that one person can take the delay more than the other, then the one who can take the delay more than the other should give way. Therefore, if you've got a healthy person, he should give way to an ill person. And similarly everywhere. So here the poskim wants to learn is that if there's a hanhaga of how to decide who comes first, then you have to follow that hanhaga to go first because of the concept of Tzedek Tzedek Tirtov. Tzedek Tzedek Tirtov says that you have to go according to the hanhaga of who goes first and who goes second, because that's Tzedek. That is the correct thing to do. So we see from here that there's no concept of owning the queue. If you come first, you don't own anything. And halakhically, nominus-wise, you don't have any claim to say you go first before the other just because you turned up first. And therefore, there's no gezel to take it away. But if you do take it away against the hanhaga of who goes first, then you're over the issue of Tzedek Tzedek Tirtov. That's what you have a problem by taking away somebody's place in the queue.
Wait a minute, you're saying that if he's sick, he should take away the place in the queue.
If there's a hanhaga of how who goes first and who goes second, then you have to go for that hanhaga, not because of gezel, because of Tzedek Tzedek Tirtov. Case of the ill person and the fola and the bori, yes. So someone is saying, okay, there's a cure already by the doctors, but somebody comes in who's really feeling bad compared to you. You just got a sore throat, and they need tipple much quicker than you. Then really, and they ask to go front. Then really, you should give up your line to that more needy person because of this. As well.
But
now we're going to get to that. This is when you come in, and the issue is whoever comes first should get first, and then if you take that way, you're not over gezel, but over tzedek tzedek tzedek. And therefore, should be in our case of the kidney, that's awesome to do it, because you'll be over this issue of tzedek tzedek tzedek. Who knows? How do you know?
You're number one, and then the guy comes in.
No, because Tzedek 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 says that the first person in the queue comes before the second. The second comes to the first. And we were never allowed to go in front of anybody because of the issue of Tzedek Tzedek Tzedek. If you've got more pressing needs than anybody else, then automatically you can go in front.
That's what I mean. I can impose that on everyone else behind me.
Because there's no Tzedek 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 in such a way.
What does it make a difference to?
Now, if you take it like this, we made it actually worse. Or more common. You know what? It's now also not only to jump the queue, it's also to replace somebody in the queue. For example, Reuven's at the front of the queue, or second in the queue, and comes in Shimon. Shimon is now at the back of the queue, and he's in a rush. He's in a rush. Fine. Shimon goes up to Reuven and says, can I come in front of you? So Reuven says, no, you can't go in front of you, because it's not right to go in front of you, because all these people are like, you know what, you can come replace me, give me your ticket and I'll take my ticket, because I can wait, you can replace me. According to what we're saying now, it's also to replace as well, because you don't own anything by the fact that you're first in the queue. You just have a concept, you're first, so Sedek, Sedek, Sedek. But you can't give that right over to anybody else. You can only give rights over on something you own.
Why does he own that spot?
He doesn't own anything.
You can't tell me how he owns it?
It's the way of it. It's got ownership.
When you go inside and you pick a number, I got number one in my hand. I own this piece of paper. Why don't I own it?
What now? Now, without the paper, it's completely and utterly true what I'm saying. No paper, there's a queue, and whoever's the first cannot give up his place to somebody else because he's got no right to that place to transfer, and therefore there's a problem in sending even to replace somebody in the queue. That's without numbers. What's the din with numbers?
Why is there sending here though? I'm not.
Because whoever comes first has a priority over come somebody second.
Why?
Because that's the hanhoga, that the person in the front goes first before the one that comes second. But so you, Shimon, that came just now, can't go before me.
The hanhoga is also that I can exchange my...
No, why is the hanhoga exchange?
That's the way it is. That's the way it is.
No, that's the hanhoga.
You have a number.
You have a hanhoga.
That's what people do all the time.
There's a sign up in the shop that says, we take according to queue. Everyone get in the queue, first in the queue. Yeah, so no, that's the hanhoga of the place. No, you can't decide the hanhoga is to replace people.
That's what
everyone does guess it. Well, so therefore,
by
it's okay.
By hanhoga, you mean what the minhag of people do, no?
No, the hanhoga is the hanhoga, the rules of the makom of how to define who comes first and who doesn't go first.
So the rules of the makom.
No, the rules of the makom is the first one in the queue goes first.
But they don't mind if somebody replaces them. Nobody in the line.
Okay. Next week, we'll finish off.
I got a whole week to cut people off.